Water, Wisconsin, and the Mercury Cycle, a production of the University of Wisconsin Water Resources Institute, with funding provided by the United States Geological Survey.
This is Jim Hurley from the University of Wisconsin Water Resources Institute. In the late 1990s, the Water Resources Institute put in a proposal to get funded through the national competition at the U.S. Geological Survey to work on a project known as Metallicus, a study that takes place in the Experimental Lakes area of southern Ontario. Investigators were allowed to add extremely low levels of isotopic mercury to a lake and its watershed and try to track its pathway as it bioaccumulates in fish. Here's Dave Krabanoff to give you a rundown on that project.
Another project that has led to a significant amount of new discovery and understanding, not only for our research team and our colleagues, but people around the world, is a project referred to as Metallicus. And Metallicus is an acronym that stands for the Mercury Experiment to Assess Atmospheric Loadings in Canada and the U.S. And it's a very unique project, rather bold actually, and it's been challenged by all kinds of people from various viewpoints. We've been declared people walking in a wonderland to think that we would propose an experiment so brazen as to purposely add more mercury into the environment to test whether or not we can measure a response to a change in mercury load. And that was the original intent and goal of Metallicus, because at that time in history, which is going back to around 1998, it was actually very unclearly understood whether or not environments would respond to a change in mercury load should countries like the U.S. or anywhere else in the world adopt regulations to reduce or eliminate mercury emissions. And the thought process was simply that scientists had clearly demonstrated that soils and sediments around the world were the repository for hundreds and hundreds of years of man's pollution. And the question was simply, well, if we have all this contamination currently on the landscape, what good is it going to do to eliminate future pollution if there's already vast stores of pollution from the past generations tied up in soils and sediments? Won't that just sustain this problem forever? Well, a small group of us, about eight, gathered in a hotel in Toronto, Canada in the winter of 1998, and we pondered that question seriously, because it's an excellent question. And we not only pondered it because it's an excellent question, it's a very challenging question to consider. How would you go about asking that question in a scientific context, propose a hypothesis, and develop an approach to test whether or not, in fact, that question is correct? Is it true that soils and sediments across the world are so polluted right now that there is no going back? We have what we have right now, and nothing could be done. So we designed the Metallicus project. It's being conducted in a very unique place on the world landscape. It's called the Experimental Lakes area. It's located in Ontario. And what's unique about this area is the provincial government of Ontario and the national government of Canada understood that scientists need to conduct their work in some cases at a large enough scale such that they could incorporate all the complexities that Mother Nature brings to bear when researchers go out on the landscape and try and understand natural processes, so that you wouldn't have research that wouldn't have Mother Nature's signal stamped all over it. You can't just take mercury and put it into mud in a jar. And as I like to say, mud in a jar only goes so far, because you just simply can't have all the other parts of that ecosystem that are inherently part of the mercury cycle, like fish, like air, like rain and forests and streams and wetlands. So we conducted a mercury loading experiment at the Experimental Lakes area, whereby we added mercury to an entire watershed, including the lake, the forests, the wetlands, the streams, everything that was within an entire catchment. And over a period of 7 years of loading, we monitored the response of the entire ecosystem, absolutely every component of the ecosystem, from the air and the forest and the soils and the flowing water and the lake, all the way up to the top predator fish in the lake, which are very large northern pike. And by doing so, we were able to conclusively show that, in fact, lakes and streams and all the other parts of the environment aren't saturated with mercury, and the repository of mercury in those soils and sediments will not mask the influence of a reduction in mercury load to ecosystems should regulations be implemented. It's a very important finding, because if that were not the case, I think even a group of scientists would have to ponder for at least a moment and ask ourselves, well, then is it really worth spending all the money it takes to put mercury reduction equipment on our emitters to reduce environmental emissions? We learned many new lessons when you do an experiment at a very large scale, like we did in Canada. One of those important lessons that we couldn't have anticipated, and I don't think anybody on our project, truthfully, ever proposed as a hypothesis, and that was those vast warehouses of mercury in soils and sediments in this ecosystem largely are retired. And by that I mean they're not active in any cycles to any significant degree. And so as it turns out, it's the more recent mercury that's coming in from the sky and moving through the ecosystem that drives most of what we see in terms of pollution of very valuable resources like game fish.
This podcast was produced by Chris Bocast, that's me, for the University of Wisconsin Water Resources Institute, with funding provided by the United States Geological Survey. This podcast is public domain. Thanks for listening.